That's it for the contemporary section of the Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, today's show. We now have a flashback from March 15, 2001. I think it's actually part of a flashback, but it's apparently that which currently survives, although we may find more of it hiding in the dusty records somewhere. This was a time when the station had a call-in line, and there are a number of calls that come in that involve dialogue back and forth, which really is the lifeblood of a talk show, I think. And also an opportunity for the community to ask real questions that, of course, they could never ask to city council as a group, and usually not get really responsive answers from city council members or staff members, for that matter, although sometimes there are exceptions, of course. Anyway, the first guests, in-studio guests, are Veronica and Kiko, who, along with their host, me, talk about a police incident that happened where they were stopped and their car towed, involving a massive police response and what sounds like a series of illegalities. Then you have attorney Larry Hildes interview, who came to defend a just man, as I called him, Jim Costner, who was a Santa Cruz activist. He formed a group called the Revolutionary Coalition. He was active on campus at UCSC. And he also was infamous or famous, depending on how you look at it, for smashing with a sledgehammer the Columbus statue in front of City Hall in San Jose, for which he served some time. And he also, I think it was mostly waiting trial, but he has had to pay reparations over the years extensively. Now, of course, Columbus statues are being removed, or were being removed at least during the height of the public indignation around the George Floyd killings and the many other killings that police have been responsible for throughout the country. Kiko and Veronica are also focusing on the fact that this seemed to them to be a racial stop, which was done without really a legitimate cause. Lengthy discussion with activist Becky Johnson, who I call Beggarbacker Becky, because of her sympathy and support, even the lowliest panhandler. She talks about the police department expansion and other issues concerning the police department. I think a little bit about police review. The Green Party at that time had a mayor, Tim Fitzmaurice, who was actually mayor of Santa Cruz, but who was not behaving very greenly on sleeping ban issues and toward activists. And when he was taken to task by some of us, the Green Party, instead of joining us and demanding that he follow the dictates of the Green Party platform, turned on us and accused us, those of us who were critical of Fitzmaurice, myself, Becky Johnson, Doug McGrath, and others, of being unhelpful, traitorous, obstructive, and so forth. Actually, I don't think the word traitorous was used, but I think we were called. They tried to ban us from meetings. They investigated us. It was really kind of like what happens with the real left today. If they criticize the rah-rah, send weapons, let's have planes sent to the Ukraine, Russia is the ultimate villain, and NATO is to be loved for moving essentially its forces up to the borders of Russia by violating agreements made with Russia, or at least promises made by U.S. officials when Germany was reunified back in 1989-90, thereabouts. Anyway, there's that. You get to hear the Monday morning group's plan to present a petition at City Council for the sleeping ban, derailed in favor of private chit-chats with the mayor that, of course, didn't go anywhere. And then you hear some extensive testimony, and I think this is a more of an addition, really a part of the Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides show, but sort of a document that I pasted on, which gives you a sense of the way things went before the Citizens Police Review Board, before it was, oh, I don't know, what'd you call, guillotined the next year, or actually it was almost a year and a half or 2 years later in the January of 2003 when it was killed. It was never much of a board until the last 2 years when it really began to sort of perk up under a African-American chair, Mark Half Moon, who, aside from being a relatively poor guy, money-wise, was African-American and has experienced racial prejudice himself in Santa Cruz, and things began to happen, and that didn't please, this is my interpretation, the powers that be in Santa Cruz, so they beheaded the board at the first available opportunity in January of 2003, as mentioned before. So check all that out, but I'm going to apologize in advance because a lot of the sound is low. You have to turn up your computer or however you're listening to this to full volume to hear particularly the last part of the show. Remember also that the numbers, except for the Huff line, 831-423-4833, or 423-HUFF, are no longer working. Or if they are, they're probably going to lead you down some strange paths that have nothing to do with free radio. We'd like to get a phone line again, as I always say on these netcasts. But that means we're going to have to get the help of the community. Our collective is apparently so small and demoralized that we were unable to find, although we have the money for it, rent in a rentable place in Santa Cruz. But it has to be relatively cheap, $300 a month. It doesn't have to even be an indoors room. It can be a space outdoors where we can hook up a line and build our own shack. We've done that before, actually. We just want to get back on the air, put in a phone line, and make ourselves accessible and restore communication with the community. If you have any thoughts about this, give me a call on the Huff line. I'll pass on the word to members of the collective. We haven't been meeting much lately either, but we are still netcasting 24 hours a day, and a few of us are still making new shows. Not many of us, but a few, at least as far as I know. So we're also looking, of course, to set up an antenna somewhere so we can actually get back on the air. We're only on the net, as all of you know who listen to this show. And that, of course, is really important. I'm reminded of that by people I talk to in interviews. They want to know, where's free radio? Why isn't it? Why can't I get it? And the answer is, we're not broadcasting because we haven't found a place to put up an antenna. So if you have any thoughts on that, let us know. There's actually a reward of $300 if you find us a studio. The antenna, all you get is the satisfaction of knowing you're getting us back on the air, which, you know, might be something. It would for me. I'd feel real good if we got back on the air, but I haven't found a place yet. And frankly, I haven't been looking with the kind of, organized militants, if you will, that might lead that to happen. But I keep putting out the call. I guess that's my contribution to that. And I keep putting out these shows. So that's it. Listen to the March 15th, 2001 flashback. And, well, learn from it if you can. Because the same conditions, or worse, in many respects, although perhaps in some respects better for the moment for homeless folks who aren't being harassed in at least one encampment, the Benchlands. But that, as you've probably heard, is an uncertain future. There's stuff to be learned from looking back. So check it out.